Okay. Excuse me. Good morning. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. It is 10:02 on December 15th of 2021. My name is Julie Fedorchak. I am the chair of the Public Service Commission. Also present with me are Randy Christman and Brian Crosses, so we have a quorum. I don't have any opening comments this morning, Commissioner Christman.
Nor do I, except for to, I guess, a little in advance, wish everyone a blessed Christmas. And we'll see all of you after Christmas, if not before.
Thanks. Thank you. Mr. Crosses.
Good morning, everyone. Wishing the Bison and the SU football team the best of luck. As I know, both of my colleagues would be doing as well. Julie, you just grinned. But no, hopefully they're successful, and Merry Christmas to everyone as well.
Excellent. Okay. We will move into the consent agenda. There are four items on consent, plus approval of our last meeting minutes. I move passage of those items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Jack. Good to have you, Jack, sitting in for regular Steve, running the show over there. Okay, then moving into the regular agenda, I have a couple items. I move the commission adopt the order on request for extension in Sequoia Energy U.S. Incorporated 150 megawatt Borders Wind Energy Project, Rolette County, citing application case number PU-08-797, Border Winds Energy / NSP transfer of site certificate, citing application case number PU-17-362, Courtney Wind Farm, LLC, 200.5 megawatt wind energy conversion facility, Stutzman, citing application case number PU-13-64, and NSP Courtney Wind transfer site certificate, citing application case number PU-15-174.
Second.
All right, so this is a request that NSP filed with us on September 10th. To have an extension of time to equip the Border Winds Energy Conversion Facility and the Courtney Wind Energy Conversion Facility with the light mitigating technology. We had a hearing on this November 16th. At that hearing, it became clear that NSP provided technical reasons for the extension request and has not provided any economic feasibility consideration. NSP selected its aircraft detection lighting system vendor in May of 2021. Plans for the siting, grading, access road, and conduit for the radar tower were not final until June of 2021. These plans were delayed. Beginning in July of 2021 due to landowner concerns over the access road to the radar tower. So it was kind of a catch-22. They hadn't picked their vendor with the exact that could tell them the array of how the thing would be set up. So they hadn't secured the landowners until they did that. So then in the end, the landowner issue caused them additional delays. And it affected NSP's ability to order the tower until the site layout was finalized. So that was what the company at the hearing described as the nature of the cause of its delays and its request for an extension. However, given that 10 facilities using the same available vendors and under the same timeline have completed their installation, in the four-year time frame NSP had to install ADLS, delays due to landowner negotiations in the third quarter of 2021 do not equate to a technical reason acceptable to the Commission to justify an extension of the December 31st, 2020 deadline. So in this order, the Commission denies NSP's extension request.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I'll just say, and I'm not going to repeat it again in the next motion, but in both cases, it's, I find it disappointing that given a four-year window, these companies chose to wait so long to really get the ball rolling. This was put in place by the legislature, I think quite obviously, for the reason of an improved skyline for the general public. And they gave them plenty of time to work on it, but companies chose to leave the blinking skyline until, you know, almost the last possible chance to get it done. And then there were so many and all the things that you mentioned, but I do really find that disappointing and support the order. Support the motion.
Thank you, Randy. I definitely agree with you and felt that when the legislature passed this law and addressed and put in law a practice that the commission had already been using in our hearings and in our orders, we had started back in 2016 requiring these facilities to use the light mitigating technology on all the new facilities. Then that following year in the session in 2017, the legislature made our practice law for new facilities, and then they also took the step of providing a timeline to retroactively fit all of the existing facilities with the same type of light mitigating technology. And in doing so, first, I thought it was great that the legislature did that. But secondly, I thought they were extremely generous in the amount of time that they gave them to adapt the existing facilities. And so I think that that timeline was more than adequate for these companies to adapt or receive the equipment, come up with the plans, and install it and have it active. So in this case, I think that I'm hopeful still that NSP is going to have this one in line by the end of the year, because during the hearing they indicated that they thought it was going to be close. So hopefully they will actually meet the deadline. But at any rate, we owe them a response to their request, and today they'll be getting that response.
Just a couple of points. I think the commission has been very clear in terms of the expectations that the wind developers, facility operators, I should say, have on them. They have had ample time to complete the task of implementing light mitigating technology. I believe that there is still the opportunity for them to hit the deadline, so they're not out of compliance yet. Of course, as I said before, they're getting extremely close to the deadline, but they're not out of compliance yet. And I believe the messaging that they've received over the past several months in particular has been very clear. And we have seen many of them who indicated they may not make the deadline are now meeting the deadline. So sending that type of a message, not only to these types of facilities, but to all operators that we regulate, is important. This sets precedents not only for wind farm operators, but for all types of energy conversion facilities. And it's important that they know that the rules have to be followed. We have regulations in place for a reason, and we've been very clear on those regulations as it pertains to this particular matter. The one thing I would say for any of those who may not meet the deadline, based on the rate of success and implementation rate, they will definitely stand in contrast to their peers who had to go through the same steps. We've heard a number of reasons for the request to get an extension. However, some have navigated through those quite efficiently. And again, I think I would anticipate only having a handful that won't be in compliance once we actually get to the deadline. That remains to be seen, but they have been moving faster than they thought possible, and I think that's just due to clear messaging from the commission.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Thank you, Jack. My second motion, I move that the commission adopt the order on request for extension in Elite Incorporated Bison One Wind Project, Oliver Morton Counties, citing application case number PU-09-151. Elite Incorporated Bison Two Wind Project, Oliver Morton Counties, citing application case number PU-11-57. Elite Incorporated Bison Three Wind Project, Oliver Morton Counties, citing application case number PU-11-162. Elite Clean Energy Incorporated 100 Megawatt Clean Energy Number 1 Wind Project, Mercer Morton, citing application case number PU-11-662, and Elite Incorporated 210 Megawatt Bison 4 Wind Project, Oliver County, citing application case number PU-13-127.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. So this is a request for an extension from Elite Bison 1, 2, 3, and 4 wind projects and Elite Clean Energy Project Number 1, which is in Mercer and Morton Counties. Bison 4 is in Oliver County, and Bison 1, 2, and 3 are in Oliver and Morton Counties. So all of these were permitted back in 2010, 2011, and 2013. And then in 2019, there was a corrected certificate of site compatibility issued for the clean energy project. They filed in August for a request for an extension of time to equip these facilities with the functioning light mitigating technology system. They were waiting for a while to try to get the LID system in place, but ended up realizing, later in the year, that that project later in last year or middle of last year, that technology wasn't going to be available in time, so then they converted to the ADLS system. So in 2020, quarter three of 2020, they agreed to purchase a jointly owned ADLS system from DTECT. And then in first quarter of this year, they finalized contracts to purchase that and install the ADLS. They purchased all that equipment in the second quarter of this year. Third quarter of this year, they required all the land lease agreements and got all of those signed. They received a conditional use permit also in the third quarter of this year. And then in the fourth quarter of this year, I think in the September-ish time frame, they installed the radar and poured the poured the foundations for the radar and the system. So in late July, DTEC notified Elite that their radar manufacturer was facing supply chain instability, that the delivery of the radar equipment would be delayed until December of this year, and that didn't leave enough time to install and commission the overall ADLS project. And then as of early October, all the necessary project components were scheduled to be complete, such that the radar equipment would be installed immediately on arrival, and then they'd be able to commission the project. So that all they all got everything ready this fall. So all they're waiting for was the actual equipment. Then on November 30th, Elite filed a letter stating that an ADLS system from another project was being redirected and installed and should be complete in early December of 2021. With commissioning work to follow and a filing provided to commission upon completion. So we haven't received notification that they have completed it, but they have let us know that they expect to complete it. Regardless, given that 10 facilities using the same available vendors and under the same deadline have completed their installation and the four-year timeframe, Elite had to install the ADLS 2021 supply chain issues. Issue impacts do not equate to a technical issue acceptable to the commission to justify an extension of the December 31st, 2021 deadline. And so the commission, by this order, denies Elite's extension request. And as I said, this order denies that. They have indicated that they anticipate meeting the deadline because they redirected some equipment that they were planning to install someplace else to this site. So hopefully they will meet the deadline. But regardless, this order makes it clear to them that their extension request is denied.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Yes. This time I want to make some other general statements, but not the same as what I did before. So when assuming that this does in fact happen real soon here, based on observations from other cases, you know, the difference is probably not going to be really dramatic just immediately, because I know in observing other ones, it took months or maybe even a year fine-tuning. One that I drive by frequently, it seemed like that first year, I couldn't even tell something was there. They were just about always on when I drove by, and now it's a lot different, and these things do ultimately work, but they do take some time for fine-tuning, I believe. I also want to say that in addition to not expecting maybe immediate results to one's expected level of satisfaction, so these are these old cases for facilities that were built before that law went into effect in 2017. So in a way, this is responding to the legislature's requirement. But I could not be more proud of this commission, because we were the ones that started talking about it and urged the legislature to put the requirement in place so that we could in fact do this and get to this date. And when I say we, I'm being pretty generous to two-thirds of us, because Commissioner Fedorchuk was the first that I heard talking about this, brought this concept to the commission of light mitigation for these wind farms. As I talk to rural people from around the state, like I say, there is a great deal of appreciation for at least the level of success, that the level of difference that it's making. And I believe we were the first state in the nation requiring this light mitigation, and I continue to really appreciate that you brought this to us and we got started as quickly as we did.
Thank you, Randy. Appreciate that. And I do hope that the technology is successful and makes a difference in at least one piece of the impact that wind generation has in our state. So thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion's approved.
Okay. Moving on, I move the commission issue the notice of intent to revoke certificate of site compatibility in Glacier Ridge Wind Farm LLC, Glacier Ridge Wind Farm Project, Barnes County Siting Application Case Number PU-16-539.
Second.
Thank you, Brian. Okay, so this is an interesting one. I don't know that this might be the first of a case like this that I've seen. So in December of 2016, the commission issued a certificate of site compatibility for the Glacier Ridge Wind Farm just near Valley City for up to 52 turbines plus three alternate turbine locations totaling almost 180 megawatts of generating capacity. Construction began on that project on December 14th of 2016. And on March 16th of 2017, Glacier Ridge filed a construction progress report indicating that 19 turbine locations with foundations were excavated. Then in September of 2017, we issued another certificate for an additional phase two of the Glacier Ridge Wind Farm, with locations for up to 35 turbines plus nine alternate turbine locations totaling up to nearly 121 megawatts of generating capacity. So this was permitted in two phases, but construction began on the first phase in March of 20, or was completed in March of 2017, just initial excavations on 19 turbine locations. Then we really didn't hear much from Glacier Ridge, and so our staff checked back with them this fall and found out that they reported that the project had been canceled and construction would not resume. We also determined that Glacier Ridge had decommissioned the project by backfilling all the turbine foundation excavations and restoring the site to the condition that existed prior to the beginning of construction. So based on this information, the commission intends to revoke the first amended certificate of site compatibility number 51 related to the Glacier Ridge Wind Farm. That's the first phase of the project. Apparently, the second phase of the project may still be viable. They haven't done any construction on that or decommissioning, so that second permit will still be valid. Or no, never mind. I'm sorry, that's confusing. We added to that first permit, so the entire thing has been canceled with this order, or will be. So those interested in inviting comments in writing should do so. We're having or requesting a hearing. We must receive those by January 19th of 2022. This is what the commission expects to happen, that we will revoke this first amended certificate of site compatibility number 51 related to this wind project. But if people have any comments or concerns, questions, or want a hearing, they can do so by letting us know by January 19th, as I said.
We have a motion and a second. Actually, did we get a second on this one yet?
Yeah.
We did? I apologize for that, missing that. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
And I just want to say on this one, I believe we have some people doing an inspection out there. And I think it's really important, because I'm not sure what happens if we pull the certificate and it turns out that the reclamation is inadequate. Mm-hmm. And so that might be a holdup on this, because I was concerned about it 5 years ago already when they did those excavations in the last 2.5 weeks of December. It wasn't mid-December like we're seeing today. It was snowing. It seemed like almost day after day. It was very cold. The weather conditions were terrible, and they were out doing excavating. So I have for 5 years been concerned about how well topsoil was separated and things like that. So I know that I have some concerns about where we go with this until I'm convinced that the reclamation has been done well, not just done. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, this isn't a final decision on it, and so I do agree with getting this out there for comments and such.
Thank you, Andy. I have gone back and forth with staff a few times on this one, and I'm forgetting the status either. Like you said, the inspection is happening, or it already happened. And I think we had some funds left in our permit dollars to cover the costs of that inspection. So that is a really important piece. And if I remember correctly, this might have been the project that triggered some of the bonding requirements that we added shortly after this, that would allow us to get bonds at the start of construction for this very reason, because of the concerns that we had that we knew that they were going to develop these foundations for the purpose of securing the production tax credits. And then that became clear, like, oh, well, what will we do if the projects aren't developed then? And somebody walked away from it. Huh. Anyway. Do you remember that? Was that what triggered some of the discussions on and the work that we did on bonding at the start of construction?
Well, we were already working on the concept before that, but I'm not sure if that helped get us over the top on the discussions. But yes, it is an important example of why we need that before construction commences.
there anything further? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed with a nay? The motion is approved.
Thank you, Jack. And my last item, I move the commission adopt the order on motion for waiver in Basin Electric Power Cooperative Wind Energy Facility Lighting Waiver Application, case number PU-21-375.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. This certificate was issued in December of 2009, originally, this permit. On August 25th of 2021, Basin requested a waiver under North Dakota Century Code 4922.16.4 regarding the requirement to install light mitigating technology at Prairie Winds by December 31st of 2021. Let's see, on September 22nd, we issued a notice of a public hearing for this case, and on November 18th, we held that public hearing as scheduled. During the hearing, Basin provided that they have been working with the United States Air Force in Minot. The U.S. Air Force Ballistic Missile Wing operates in the area of Prairie Winds and is tasked with the maintenance and protection of the intercontinental ballistic missile sites. The U.S. Air Force utilizes aircraft in the security and defense of the ICBM sites and the implementation and use of radar-based light mitigation interferes with the safety and security of ICBM sites and military personnel responding to threats at ICBM sites. Radar-based light mitigation and the impact of its use regarding the safety and the protection of military assets is a concern for the U.S. Air Force. Currently, aircraft detection lighting systems, which is a radar-based system that activates the turbine lights, is approved by the FAA. ADLS is the only approved light mitigation technology at this time. With the U.S. Air Force in opposition to an ADLS lighting system, the FAA approval of its use on this site is unlikely. So the Commission finds Basin has established a technical infeasibility to grant an extension based on the concerns of the U.S. Air Force. So with this order, the Commission grants a waiver based upon current technical infeasibility conditioned upon the continued technical infeasibility. And we also order that Basin shall review FAA-approved light mitigation technology every 3 years and report to the Commission to determine if the waiver should be continued based on continued technical infeasibility or if an acceptable light mitigation technology can be installed. So this order grants them the waiver and provides that they should report to us every 3 years after evaluating what current technology is available, maybe a new technology like LIDS, which is not based on a radar system, might be something that would work in this facility. So we want to make sure that as new options become available for light mitigating technology, this site is continued to be reviewed for its applicability there.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Just as a matter of history for those listening, and this is just some background information. The after the 2017 legislative session, the light mitigating technology requirements was put in place. Then during the time period between when that was enacted and this past legislative session, it was recognized that there was a deficiency, potential deficiency in the law that didn't anticipate this type of a situation, and it's a unique situation. You have the ballistic missile sites intermingled with private land ownership up in that area. So the landowners, of course, were interested in monetizing their holdings, their land holdings, by agreeing to leases with the wind developer, but then you have military concerns. So I think this is exactly what the legislature intended when they gave the commission the ability to grant exceptions, and when the military indicates concern, it's extremely important that we as a commission listen to those concerns and make sure we're doing things correctly so those in the armed forces are safe and that we're not compromising their security. But that's just some of the history, that there was the follow-up legislation after the initial legislation. I think it's an important point.
Is there anything else? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion's approved.
Thank you, Jack. One note to staff, there's a couple spelling errors in this order, so if we could get those corrected before we sign them. I have indicated them, and one on the motion as well. So Pamela, maybe you can give this to Brian. So we have a correct one to sign. Thank you.
Mr. Johnson.
Yes. All right. That's the end of my items. And the next up are yours, Brian.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. My first, I move the commission find the formal complaint filed by the North Dakota Public Service Commission advocacy staff on November 3rd, 2021 states a prima facie case and served the complaint on the respondent and Public Service Commission, Wagner Construction Incorporated, Damage Prevention Enforcement, case number PU-20-423.
Second.
Just a couple of points on this one. The fact that we're at this stage right now would indicate, of course, that a settlement agreement hasn't been reached in this case. Advocacy staff does believe that a violation occurred. So the case will continue to move forward. Both parties will have the opportunity to be heard and continue to make state their positions on this, and as well as the commissioners, we will have the opportunity to hear that dialogue. Well, I shouldn't say not from advocacy, but during a potential proceeding. And it's still possible that a settlement agreement could be reached without going to a formal hearing. But at this point in time, advocacy staff believes a violation occurred. So this is a procedural component, but an important one at that.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Okay, next I move the commission issue a notice of hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Company Financial Incentive Power Purchase Agreement Rates, case number PU-21-373.
Second.
Okay, a public hearing on the application in case PU-21-373 is scheduled for January 19th, 2022 at 1 p.m. Central Time in the Commission Hearing Room here at the on the 12th floor at the State Capitol. This stems from a filing made on August 18th of 2021 by Montana Dakota Utilities Company. They're seeking approval for a financial incentive related to two power purchase agreements with Minn Kota Power Cooperative. And this would be for the purchase of electric capacity and energy from the Milton R. Young Unit 1 coal-fired electric generation facility. Effective August 1st of 2021, North Dakota Century Code, this would be section 49-06-02, requires that the commission allow a public utility in relation to facilities using lignite mined in North Dakota as its primary fuel to recover costs and rates, including a financial incentive set at a reasonable rate for power purchase agreements of a dispatchable on-demand generating unit, plant, or facility deemed to protect grid reliability. Five issues to consider in this particular case. The first is whether the purchase agreements are for power from a new or existing facility utilizing lignite mined in the state as its primary fuel. Secondly, whether the purchase agreements are for power from a dispatchable on-demand generating unit, plant, or facility. Three, whether the purchase agreements are for power that will protect grid reliability, and if so, number four, what is a reasonable rate of return for the financial incentive for the power purchase agreement? And finally, number five, is it appropriate for the financial incentive to be included in the company's existing generation resource recovery rider? So that those will be the issues that we will consider. And again, the public hearing is scheduled for January 19th, 2022 at 1 p.m.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Yeah, I am. I apologize for this in advance. I'm kind of going to be looking to Jack here for some advice. I only, and it's part of why I came in a minute or two late today, just became aware of a conflict that really both I and Victor have on that afternoon. And so I talked to him, and I forgot at that time then that that was in this motion. And so I talked to him and to see if he could check with MDU about a different day that week. I don't know if anything can be resolved or if we're going to have to pick one or the other. But if we approve this motion, could we still change that in scheduling if both MDU and the other commissioners can work out a different date in like that week? So it's the same scheduling time frame?
I think we're rapidly, if not passed already, public notice.
Well, we would just be issuing the public notice now. So if it changed day, it should be the same.
In the past, we used to leave the date blank and then fill it in after scheduling.
Sure.
And so whatever method we used to do that, could we do that here?
Right. The motion was at least at this point, is seconded to as it currently was provided to the commission. So we can make the motion conditional upon future or a subsequent change to the date. I think that would be probably appropriate in this situation.
Okay.
Could we maybe hear if Victor has any news from MDU that maybe makes this all moot?
So we will not know until the end of this week, if not early next week, okay, when MDU is available. So,
if it's that long of a time, it seems like at this point in time, I would recommend that we would withdraw it and we could subsequently reissue it.
And then the notice or the motion?
The whole thing.
We can't issue that. The whole point of the motion is to get it made.
Yeah, right. We wouldn't be able to put this subsequently on scheduling and set the dates.
And we can do that outside of a regular meeting.
We can do that outside of a regular meeting. Yes.
Okay.
Well, I think that we should just I think I'll withdraw it and we can. Because we're not set. Well, what are the two options again, Jack? One, to withdraw it. Two would be to. But we already have a motion on the floor that's been seconded.
We could do a motion and make this condition upon subsequently finding the correct date and then fill it in on that date. But at that point in time, you guys would still have to sign the notice that would be issued. So we could do it that way. The other option would be to withdraw from this agenda.
I'm fine either way.
I prefer the first option, if that's an option, because then we just set it out there, date, we settle on a date, plug it in and sign it. We don't have to meet again.
Sure.
Right?
So procedurally, can that just be an addendum even though this was already seconded?
Procedurally?
That's my actual question.
I would withdraw the... sorry.
Do I do this?
I would withdraw the original motion, then I would probably do a subsequent motion.
Okay. Well, let's start with that.
I have an idea.
Okay.
If we withdraw the motion and you move on to your next one, have staff write up a new motion to do what we want to do, and then we can put that at the end of your items, because you have a number of items.
Well, that would certainly be more professional than just saying I withdraw this and then what Jack said. So.
And I will withdraw the second. Sorry
okay,
about
so
the blatantness
staff,
of this.
That's all right. Can staff write a new motion based on what we just decided? Okay.
Does staff understand what we just decided completely? And I see some questions.
I'm advocacy, so I probably shouldn't write a motion for this.
Who did this one?
I believe this would more than likely have been the Director of Public Utilities.
Okay. So can one of you go talk to Pat?
Yeah, we'll talk to Pat.
I bet he's listening, but. Steve, you might want to help facilitate that motion if Victor can't say a whole lot. I don't know. Okay, are we good to go, Jack?
So all three are comfortable with the drawing of the motion?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, are we ready to move?
So we'll put BK2 at the end, after BK6, we'll take up BK2 again. Proceed.
All right, let's give this one a try. I move the commission issue a notice of public input sessions in Northern States Power Company 2021 natural gas rate increase application, case number PU-21-381.
Second.
Public input sessions on the application in the case mentioned will be held on February 2nd, 2022 at 12 p.m. Central Time, and also at February 2nd, 2022, beginning at 5:30 p.m. Central Time in the Commission Hearing Room here on the 12th floor of the State Capitol. These will be done remotely, so to speak. We won't have any physical locations. We did reach out to several potential sites, venues, and just due to COVID and some of the concerns that they have, this will be done virtually, which, as we found, it can be quite effective. On September 2nd, this is what it stems from, Northern States Power Company, XL Energy, also known as, filed with the Commission an increase in rates for natural gas service. NSP rate filing resulted in an increase in its annual North Dakota natural gas service revenue of $7.1 million. An interim rate subject to refund was approved on October 20th of 2021, and that is consistent with law, which does allow for interim rate increases for utilities. When they've filed for a rate increase, the law provides that they can receive an interim rate increase as the case is being processed. And the issues to be considered in this matter in terms of so the public is aware during the sessions. One, what is the value of NSP's property used and useful for the service and convenience of the public in North Dakota? Number two, what is NSP's rate of return on its property used and useful for the service convenience of the public in North Dakota? Number three, what is a just and reasonable rate of return on NSP's property? Number four, what rates and charges are necessary to provide a just and reasonable rate of return on NSP's property? And number five, are NSP's rate schedules designed in such a manner that they result in a basis charge to its customers that is just and reasonable as well? The public is encouraged to view the hearing electronically. The link will be on our website, or they can listen telephonically. That number will also be readily accessible on our website as well. Public input received by the Commission will be placed into the record for consideration. The Commission will receive testimony through the following methods. The first is written, and written public input may be submitted beginning on February 2nd of 2022 through February 9th of 2022, and that written testimony, or input, I should say, can be sent to the Public Service Commission. Our address, mailing address, again, is on our website. Telephonic, again, that number will be provided via our website. And anyone who would like to provide input beginning on February 2nd can contact the commission. They'll be placed on a list, and then we will follow up with a phone call to them during the time of either time of the proceedings. So public can call in, then we will call you back to hear what you have to say, which we certainly welcome. And just as a point in all this, a public input session is not considered part of the technical hearing, and discussion at the session will not become part of the evidence reviewed by the commission in making its decision. However, the public input is really important from the standpoint that it helps to form a line of questioning for the company. It's, I believe, particularly helpful in weaving in concerns the public may have, and then knowing those concerns, again, to help formulate questions that we'll present to the company. So it's very important. It's an opportunity for the public to be involved in the proceeding and to be heard. And then we, of course, as a regulatory body, have to balance these things out to make sure that service is reliable and reasonable, particularly during the winter months, but during the other times of the year as well. So we'll see where this leads. And ultimately, it's another important step in the process.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I just will add that this is the first time that we've done these public input sessions completely online. I think it's a great step. I'm excited for it. It gives people a chance to just log in from home and make their thoughts and comments known versus having to go out to a site in the community. And often seems like these hearings are always in the middle of winter, and it's just not a very appealing thing for folks to have to leave their homes and travel out in the snow and cold and attend a public hearing. So this allows people to do it from the comfort of their own home. I hope that it results in increased participation from the public, because we really do want to hear from folks, hear what their concerns and thoughts are. And also they can learn more about what the company's plans are, what their justification for the rate increase is, and all that sort of thing. So all in all, it'd be great to have a good turnout from the public.
Is there anything further? Sensing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed with a nay? The motion is approved.
Okay, next I move the commission adopt the order in Otter Tail Power Company meter testing rule waiver approval, case number PU-21-416.
Second.
Okay, this ties back to the advanced metering infrastructure program that Otter Tail is going to be implementing. That in itself is a positive for consumers of electricity on the Otter Tail system. And it stems from an October 21st filing of 2021 that Otter Tail Power made. And it was an application for a waiver of the testing, the existing meter testing plan, and the associated annual reports for the years 2022 through 2025. And this is, again, it's because of the AMI system being rolled out. We did provide on November 3rd a notice of opportunity for hearing related to this, which provided until December 3rd, 2021, for receiving written comments and hearing requests. No responses were received. The notice identified the issues to be considered in the in this proceeding and whether it's appropriate to grant a waiver of the commission's rules under North Dakota Administrative Code. And on December 1st, 2021, we did discuss the filing with Otter Tail Power and commission staff during an informal hearing. I thought they did a very nice job of laying things out. And currently, Otter Tail Power's existing meter testing plan requires a sample of meters to be tested each year from each lot or group of meters. Additionally, North Dakota Administrative Code requires a summary report of meter tests to be made, or meter tests made during the year to be filed. Again, that's on an annual basis. And as mentioned, Otter Tail Power is implementing its advanced meter infrastructure program to replace all non-AMI meters. Implementation is going to start in 2022 and continue through 2024. So the one thing I think that's important, because it was a question that was raised during the informal with Otter Tail Power, and was it a resource issue? Was it some technical considerations? And it's a mix of both, but customers can continue to request a test of their meter at any time, and meters with high usage or high consequences of inaccuracies will continue to be tested regularly. So this is modifying the testing procedure. Oversight will still be in place to ensure accuracy. And Otter Tail Power, during previous tests that they've been conducting throughout the years, the level of accuracy has been extremely high. So they're doing a good job to make sure that the power they say is being delivered is in fact being delivered. They've been a very good corporate citizen, in my view, and And again, the oversight will be there. It will just be in a little different manner in terms of how we go about it and how they proceed. But it makes sense, and it's just a part of the rollout.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I'll just note for the record that this was a informal hearing that I was not able to attend, but I did listen to the recording of it and was pleased with all the good questions that you both asked to get to the bottom of this. So I also support this and think it's makes sense.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. The motion's approved.
Okay, next I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing Northern States Power Company Customer Credit DOE Settlement 2020 application case number PU-21-438.
Second.
On November 26, 2021, NSP filed a petition for approval to refund to customers the 12th settlement payment, which is approximately $847,000, received October 27, 2021. This is tied to the United States Department of Energy's inability to accept nuclear waste under the Federal Nuclear Waste Policy Act. NSP requests to either refund this payment back to customers as a separate line item on the customer bills. This would occur on July 24th of 2022. Is what they're proposing, or alternatively to refund payment, the payment back to customers as a customer credit on the customer's fuel cost charge effective 45 days after commission approval. So two different mechanisms that they are proposing. The credit itself is going to be approximately $3.75 per residential customer. And the issues that we will consider in this matter, whether the 12th settlement payment refund is just and reasonable, what is the appropriate settlement refund mechanism as mentioned and refund period, whether the 150-day extension of the February 24th, 2022 deadline will be necessary or not, and whether a variance of the Commission's fuel cost adjustment clause rules will be necessary to accommodate the one mechanism in particular. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by January 14th, 2022. Anyone desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. If deemed appropriate, the Commission can determine the matter without a hearing. And for more information, individuals can contact Public Service Commission here at the State Capitol.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I've said this a couple times in the past, and I'm just in the mood to throw it out again. As this whole concept gets older and older, and this isn't a NSP thing, but because it's happening to nuclear generating companies all over the nation, it is just dreadful that our federal government throws out promises they can't keep. And then the response is, when they can't keep them, we'll just borrow money from the grandkids and send people checks instead of keeping our promises. And so here we are, with money they don't have, distributing it around because they choose not to keep their promises and promise things that are beyond their ability to keep to it. It's just so frustrating the way business is done there.
Is there anything further? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
All right, thank you, Jack. I move the commission suspend the tariff changes and issue a notice of filing and a notice of opportunity for hearing on Otter Tail Power Company Fuel Cost Adjustment Hoot Lake Solar Project Tariff, case number PU-21-443.
Second.
On December 1st of 2021, Otter Tail Power Company filed an application for revisions to its energy adjustment rider tariff to include recovery of an alternate or proxy price for the energy to be generated from the Hoot Lake Solar Facility. The tariff revisions would not cause an increase or decrease to North Dakota customers. The issues to be considered in this matter are, one, whether the proposed tariff changes are reasonable, and two, whether the tariff changes should be approved. Those interested are approved to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by January 31st of 2021. If deemed appropriate, the Commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing. And for more information, again, individuals can contact the Public Service Commission here at the State Capitol, 701-328-2400.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I'll just add a little color on this one. So this is, every so often, there'll be, the commission will be criticized for approving things or charging North Dakota ratepayers for the goals and objectives that are outlined or determined by Minnesota, and charging North Dakota customers for Minnesota's priorities. And that's not something we do. And here's an example of how the commission goes about preventing that from happening. So this Hoot Lake Solar Project was one that the Minnesota Commission wanted Otter Tail Power to develop and pursue. They have specific solar mandates in Minnesota. That particular project is not being included in the rate base for North Dakota customers. However, because it's an integrated system, the power from that project goes onto the system. So how do North Dakota customers pay for that power? That's what will be determined in this tariff change. There will be a proxy price established for any power that comes off there that won't equal the price that it actually is. It'll equal the price that we set that we feel is fair based on their overall generation mix. And so this is one of the tools we use to maintain the integrated system with different states having different priorities. It's somewhat complicated, but there are ways to do it, and this is one of them.
Is there any further discussion?
That's an excellent point. I think too often these matters become politically charged, and they're not reflecting actual policy, but the public doesn't know that. And when the public is led to believe one thing when it's not factually true, it becomes very, energy markets are challenging to understand to begin with. And the public, if it's the first thing out, even if it's not accurate, they tend to grab and latch on, and then that just creates more confusion. So I think you make an excellent point. And again, as you mentioned, this is an example of looking out for the North Dakota ratepayer in the appropriate fashion.
Is there anything else? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify with a nay. The motion's approved.
All right. I have one final one. This relates to BK2, as previously discussed. So I'm going to make the motion, make a new motion. I had withdrawn the other one, and we'll start there. I move the commission to issue a notice of hearing upon finalization of a scheduled date in Montana Dakota Utilities Company Financial Incentive Power Purchase Agreement, rates case number PU-21-373.
Second.
Okay, and I'm not going to repeat what I had said earlier, other than I'll repeat the first paragraph in general, and this is tied to a public hearing on the application case number PU-21-373 that will occur in the commission hearing room here at the 12th floor of the state capitol at a date to be determined.
We have a motion and a second. Is there anything else? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed with a nay? The motion's approved.
Okay, that concludes my portfolio, Madam Chair.
Excellent. Thank you very much. All right. So just a couple announcements here. Get my calendar out. Okay, so this afternoon we have an informal hearing on the MDU natural gas distribution system. Some proposals for the Cass and Richland area public convenience and necessity application. And that'll be at 1:30. On Friday of this week, we have a hearing on the Rugby Winds request to have an extension of the light mitigating technology requirements. And then our next regularly scheduled commission meeting, the final one of 2021, is on December 29th. And we do have an informal that afternoon with MDU as well. And then right after the new year, January 4th, we have a formal hearing on some rulemaking issues for the Mining and Reclamation Division. Otherwise, hopefully it'll be somewhat quiet so staff and others can enjoy the holiday season.
Question?
Yes.
I'm just opening my calendar here. But you said that informal this afternoon at 1:30.
Oh.
And that's what the announcement says, but isn't that at 12:30?
It was changed.
12:45.
So I think that just hasn't been... Has that been updated officially on our site? Oh, this was an old printout.
Yes.
Okay, this was printed before that update was made. So it's 12:45. Thank you for noticing that. Okay, with that, we will go in recess for... questions and a brief break before our admin portion of the meeting. Do I gavel off, Marisa? Okay.